Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
So Vanderpump Rules, first of all, and really disappointing news to me, last season nominated for an Emmy for Best Reality Series. They should not be rewarded for this bad behavior.
Where was the Valley in the nominations? I feel sick.
Snubbed.
Yeah, biggest snub of the century. And now we said it. It's almost as shocking as when Marissa Tomei won the fucking Oscar for My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
This is what it feels like. This is my Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, I feel like someone, Sheena Shea must have been, you know, I'm starting a rumor that she's sleeping with someone on the Emmy committee, the same way Marissa Tomei had that unfairly maligned against her.
I know. Sheena, Oscar. Yeah. Like, Sheena Shea is giving me Joe Pesci from My Cousin Vinny. Big time. Propping up Ariana. So she.
Yeah. But also traitors want, or they got some noms too. They got four noms. Best host, finally, Alan Cumming recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And then best outstanding reality TV competitive program, which I hope they win. Great
God
hair.
Bless.
Hope they win.
Yeah. And I mean, let's take all the credit for the nomination here.
We lobbied hard.
Very hard.
We were the Bradley Coopers behind the scenes.
Yeah, we Bradley Coopered so hard. Yeah, like, our girlfriend is Gigi Hadid.
Yeah. We took her out with
under her wing.
Yeah, under her wing to a hotel just to you know, marathon all the traitors.
Yeah. And we also made her watch old episodes of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and she also thinks it's not a good show.
Yeah, she's with us 100%.
Yeah, very traumatic.
And that's why it got snubbed too. Mm-hmm. Also because it sucks.
Snubs and flubs.
Yeah, so it's like the Emmys, they did make up for acknowledging Vanderpump Rules' very bad work this season by snubbing Beverly Hills' continually terrible work.
So bad.
We'll give you guys that. And recognizing traitors. Thank you to the Academy. And speaking of traitors, Ariana sued twice today. And then unsued. What's going on? Have you heard about this? Do you know about this?
I do know about this because, like, I only subscribe to the New York Post and the Daily Mail, so, like...
This got picked up in the trades. It's more than just, like, Bravo, Instagram.
Variety. That's the trades.
That's the main trade, yeah.
That's the trade, sis.
Yeah, that's the trade.
That's the trade, sis.
Yeah.
So many lawsuits just flying at her, and she's like, I'm on a beach hosting a show in lingerie.
And they're like that show, it's popping. It's like the best ratings ever.
Yeah, I hear that it's doing really well and a lot of people really like it.
Yeah, it's it's a pretty hot season. I'm more of a Love Island UK girl, but you know, I checked it out. It's, you know, it's drama.
Do all the girlies on the UK version sound like Oliver Twist? Because I wouldn't think that they would have the Queen's English they do.
A lot of them are like the Northerners, so they're like, why did you snub us? Like, you're supposed to be in us. Hurting our feelings. It's charming.
That's really good, too. Yeah, like, I need to watch Love Island UK just because I want to hear kind of like a popper, like, accent. Oh. There's really hot people with too much makeup.
Yeah, there's one girl who looks, you know, kind of like a version of a Tammy Knickerbocker's daughter, like a beautiful blonde bronzer like type girl. But she's like, so is Paris a country or is it Europe? Is Europe a country? And it's so good. It's like, and she's like too hot to even pretend to like anyone. It's so good.
Oh, the voice work you're giving me. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Ironic. There's always ironic.
No. I mean, like, Jeremy Allen White is shaking right now from the bear. He's so, like, you're a threat.
Does he do an accent in that?
No.
but he
is threatened, but he's still shaking.
He doesn't want to get snubbed, and he knows we've got the snub power. So,
well, he knows
you better
the show's
be shaking,
not...
honey.
I'm sorry. He knows the show's not really a comedy.
And he knows the show. I'm sorry. It's all over the place.
He's stuck in a compilation. Why is he stuck in a freezer?
Someone do a compilation of just the scenes where they're in the restaurant. I'm not interested in anything else. Sorry,
I don't like that they closed the like beef and like they're like a fancy restaurant with like flowers and he's stuck in a freezer. I can't even watch season 3 and now he said it.
It's too all over the place. It's like, and TV, you write TV for the world. And they keep changing the world on us. It's like, it's too much. I can't say. Real Housewives of OC, you know, it's like, it stays in Coda. They're not going to move it to Newport.
We're behind the gates, okay?
We go behind the gates. Every season, we're behind the gates.
I need to just be at the beef in Chicago. I don't need to see you. Like he's got a lot of trauma, okay? Like, save the trauma for your mama or something. Yeah. It's like
Jamie Lee Curtis, also nominated for Best Guest Appearance Emmys.
I did like that episode with, like, John Mulaney and Jamie Lee Curtis. And
I heard she was great.
Yeah.
I'll give her that.
She is a great alcoholic on that episode.
Yeah, I think that's, like, her Oscar was, like, honorary.
Yeah.
We really liked you in that episode, and we really liked Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Speaking of alcoholics, Lauren...
Shall we get started?
Season 2 of Real Housewives of the OC.
All right, let's get into it. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Michelle, and I'm in the darkness, baby. But Lauren's going to be all light and love.
Yeah, just
it
so
up.
I can make some YouTube videos. Well, a YouTube podcast, which you might be watching it on right now. If not, check out our YouTube, Bravo Breakdowns. And to be making some TikTok and Instagram videos at Bravo_Breakdowns. So this is Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. It's the only show where we recap an entire season of drama, fights, breakups, hookups in one episode and leave out all the boring parts where everyone gets along. And today we are breaking down season 2 of Real Housewives of Orange County. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm not stuck in a freezer like Carmi on The Bear.
Okay. So this season was released in January 2007. We are back behind the gates of the Orange County community, Coda de Caza, with Gina, Vicky, Lori, and Joe returning, newbie Tammy Knickerbocker, and sixth housewife Slade as they navigate breakups, relationships, parenting, money, and work as Bravo slowly starts to realize that all of the castmates should hang out together more.
Yes.
And this season, they're getting a little closer. Michelle, do you remember watching this season, like, in 2007 or, like, the reruns where they played a lot during the writer's strike?
I have to confess, I only went back and watched season 2, like, a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So I probably got into OC, like, season 5, season 6, and then I went back and watched the episodes. Yeah, like the early seasons. But
wow, yeah. I did not. You mentioned last week that like you started with New York, but I didn't know that it's you were such a recent.
It's one of my most
greatest
dark.
Regrets.
Yeah, it's my it's my darkest secret. I've been rewatching Dexter with Jason, which is actually really fucked up. Does not hold up that show. But anyway, this is my dark passenger that I got into OC, like, season 5.
Well, honey, it's better late than never. And, like, season 5 was really when we started to kind of get cooking with the Naked Waist.
And we moved to, like, you know, widescreen versus the square. Like, we're walking season 1, season 2. But, boy, these girls really made some magic. And there's just so many iconic moments, like, classic Housewives iconic moments.
Yeah, that's
the best.
That was one of my main takeaways rewatching. I did watch this season when it aired. I remember what I remember vividly is the again the Joe and Slade stuff. Like I remember the Playboy party. I think because it's like the first so many Playboy parties to come. Real Housewives of New York. Joe crawled so that Kelly Ben Simone could walk late into a Playboy party.
Yeah.
And then Joe's, the singing always really sticks with me.
Singing and the episode where she is in the booth and Slade is supposed to be coming with her Starbucks and he's running really late and the producer's getting very agitated with her that she cannot sing.
And it's kind of like she's refusing to. She's like, this will be fine. Like, she just, it's like a very codependent relationship. She's like, when Slade is here and I have caffeine, I'll be all better.
Yeah, like, I'm like so different when Slade is here and I have Starbucks. I'm a completely different gal.
But honestly, like, I look at, like, I remember thinking it was so cringe, but maybe it's just because of, like, I don't know how much I still really liked Jo watching, and I still really like her rewatching. It's like, it's almost like, I feel like she's almost freakishly mature other than, like, dating Slade. But it is, like, yeah, nice for her to, like, have this moment of, like, being, like, a friggin' dorky, like, insecure, mm-hmm, embarrassing 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Instead of, like,
who's, like,
I think she's extraordinarily self-possessed.
But she's moving to LA.
Yes. Big moves. Oh, you know what else really struck me about the season, though, before we dive in? The level of honesty we're getting. Mm. It's like, we don't even really need, like, the drama is, like, the least.
Right.
Like, the drama between the women is the least interesting part. Like, I don't, yeah, even really give a shit. But, like, everyone, it reminds me of The Valley. Everyone's, ooh, relationships are falling apart and they are just talking about it on camera.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to get back to that.
Yeah, we need, you know, show your whole ass on TV again, you guys. This is when, like, the most beautiful moments rise to the top.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, imagine we had two storylines like this on The Valley this season, mm-hmm, and it was like, oh my God, it was God's gift. It was, you know, like, you know, we saw the face of God.
Yeah.
And it was Jesse. And this is every single guy is Jesse. And this,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I wish we could get this kind of, this level of raw, but, like, you're lucky if you get one good storyline that isn't, like, interpersonal drama between the women these
Do
days.
Do you know who's, and, like, the most stuff. Jesse this season?
Michael. Oh, Michael.
Vicky's, yeah, son.
There's a lot of...
He's,
yeah,
Jesse
all
coded.
The men are Jesse, though. Yeah, there's, like... There's,
like, Shane is very Jesse coded.
Shane is very Jesse.
Shane and Michael, Matt, like, walked, mm-hmm, so Jesse and Jax could run.
Yeah. Amen. And, yeah, that's definitely what it reminded me most of. Also, that they could be honest about... that they're kind of getting famous and they're getting more,
yeah,
access. I miss old Bravo. I'm sorry. Okay.
Enough. Oh God, that, yeah.
Enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Taylor,
okay,
Armstrong.
So
enough.
So, yeah, let's get into, first our star, our main girly, Vicky. Vicky Gundelson is back. She's still girl bossing at Kodo Insurance. And according to her family, being too bossy with her son, Michael, and broader Brianna's lives, relationships, and friendships. But don't worry, this Aries plays as hard as she works.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So probably Vicky's big moment.
Yeah.
Big moment this season. Big moment of her career, I think.
This, yeah, one of the highlights. This isn't a highlight reel. This is, like,
yeah,
huge.
This is kind of when the producers kind of realize, oh, this is what the show is supposed to be.
And she's a star. Like,
and
Vicky,
a star
is born. Like, I'm sorry, Lady Gaga, but, like, truly, a star is born.
It should have
born.
Been about her. It should have been Bradley Cooper been discovering, driving
moment.
Past Vicky.
He's
who,
driving the van.
He's driving the van. As Vicky is planning a trip to Europe for her family, and she has booked a limo with, like, you know, like, catered food and mimosas in the car, mm-hmm, and, like, you know, and then what shows up instead is a family van. Do you think that can fit six people? She's screaming on the phone. She's screaming because it's just a van. I mean, they're just going to the airport, so it's like, it's, you know, it's Bob Hope.
Her family's staring at her, like...
They're like, what the hell?
Like,
you know, it's fine, like... You know, like, they won't bring the cameraman, you know? But she wanted it to be this big moment, and, like, all be on tape, and they're all enjoying and stuff. And she loses her goddamn mind. And her entertaining... Vicky screaming, like, the volume and the level she gets to. You know, I think that's the thing about a lot of great performers. It's like that they can kind of get to a level and intensity.
She can reach octaves.
That others can't reach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Vicky's whole, her demeanor changed. Like, everything changes when she's screaming. Like, it is such a treat to watch.
It's like, yeah, like, it's Richter scale registering.
It's just, you know, that she's got that X factor. What can you say? She's a star. She's always making moments. Always.
She's always making moments. Another great moment she makes is, and this is one that, Michelle, it's near
it's
and dear
favorite.
To your heart,
mm-hmm,
is when she decides to surprise her son Michael during game day at his school.
Yeah.
And just shows up and then is shocked when he's like, what the fuck? fuck? What the fuck? She came and brought cameras.
She shows up with a case of beer, and her son's on a Razor phone. That's what you were in. And his like mouth is on the floor, and Vicky walks in like holding like a 12-pack of beer. And she's like, "Woohoo! Woohoo! We're gonna whoop it up!" Like Michael's freaking out. He's upset that his mom's there. Vicky starts crying. Then Michael walks away to his like friends, and he's like, "Hey, like hide the contraband, like hide the drugs."
She hides in the bathroom.
Yeah, Vicky's crying. Meets his girlfriend, Michael's girlfriend, for the first time, and his girlfriend's having to comfort Vicky while she's crying because her son is embarrassed by his mom showing up with like a camera crew at his like fraternity house.
Without telling him.
Yeah, without telling him, like, "You're gonna be on camera. I'm showing up with the whole crew. I'm bringing a case of beer. I'm wearing—" But here's the thing, like, Vicky is so hot this season. Do you notice
she
like
looks
this?
So good. Insane. Oh my God.
She's like so hot. And like all of Michael's friends, like when Vicky's in his room, like crying, they all come up to her and like they're all giving her hugs. And like this one guy like goes in for like three different hugs from Vicky. She's so hot.
And that's what she was really going for, let's be honest.
And then
like, she did think that Michael would genuinely be excited. Like,
yeah. And she's like, he's like, "Why wouldn't you tell me?" Like, "Because it's a surprise." "But you don't love me. You're not happy I'm here." He's like, "Mom, like, you're embarrassing me." But then she does like a keg stand in the kitchen, and
everybody claps, and he goes, "Woohoo!
Yeah, whoop it up." Yeah.
Yeah. She also woohoos her way through Lake Havasu.
Oh, yeah. It's her home away from home.
Her home away from home with, it's actually kind of sad that where it's like, well, this is like where all of my real friends live who don't judge me. And if I ever got in a horrible accident, they would help me with my ostomy bag and stuff. I'm like, do you not think your friends there, like in Orange County, would do that? Just move to like Havasu, dude. Your kids have like graduated.
Yeah. Like Vicky, and I think this is also what makes her so special. It's just like, she's so like depressed.
she's always thinking of death, like
I'm gonna die, like one day we're all gonna die, and Michael, you don't like my surprises, like you don't love, like it's just, you know, she gets, you know, she's so funny though,
she's like, so tough yet so like vulnerable,
she's like too.
And we definitely see that dynamic very much, you know, with her. She's obviously still working at Kodo, and Lori is still working there like a little bit for the show mostly,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into it, but she doesn't need to anymore because she's rich. And
but she needs to have scenes with Vicky that seem authentic. And
And Vicky is always giving talking heads about how jealous she is of Lori, or she's like, Lori doesn't have to work anymore. She's just pretty. I've had to work for everything.
For a family van. Michael doesn't love me.
Michael doesn't love me.
And I'm not good at golf.
Yes. Oh, she has a really creepy ongoing storyline where it's like probably my least favorite. Well, sometimes I like it, like when she converts herself to Jesus Christ, but sometimes her Christianity is creepy to me, where I'm like, I don't think she's ever been to church, but she's just like very into it, like kind of culturally. And that she's like so into her daughter Brianna and Cody's sex life, where it seems like they're genuinely virgin saving it for marriage, and she's like, "Well, you can't fuck Brianna, like, don't, you know, you guys have to be careful, like, I don't trust you guys." She's just so intense of talking about her daughter's sex life on camera.
That's what all good mommies do.
That's fully a very Orange County thing.
Fully embarrass their children on screen.
And grill them about, you know,
sex,
that they're virgin nerds. Do you think they were doing it? Do you think they were doing it, Brianna?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like the way that like Jason and I do it, or like probably like you and Cam do it, like it's very, you know,
doggy?
It's like barely.
Yeah, like barely. Yeah,
it's like what, like you? It's like barely sex.
Yeah,
but in a good way, in a way that we.
But
like.
In a good way, yeah. She, they probably, you were saying she probably just did anal, because then it's like Christian.
Yeah, yeah. So then it's like, okay, yeah.
Well, anal sex, that's another, that's a recurring motif.
you know,
so Vicky, okay, back to Vicky. Vicky. Yes, I think Vicky's probably, to wrap up Vicky, my favorite Vicky moment this season is again, we finally get all the girls together a couple times, and one time they are seeing an astrologist. Yes. Our first astrologer scene in all of Housewives. We're getting moment. Into
The psychic moments. Like, this is like a big thing that's gonna happen for every Housewives franchise all of the time, and it's so special.
And it's Vicky who really made it a moment.
Yeah, I love her.
Because she, and also she really like was the voice of a generation, because it's like, you know, we're all so obsessed with horoscopes and identity now.
Yeah.
Well, Vicky was the first, because she felt so lost and self-loathing that she went to the astrologer and she said, what's mine? What's wrong with me? What do I have? Is that why I'm like this? Why am I bad?
He's like, Aries.
You're an Aries. And she's like, oh, okay. So what's that? And he's like, well, you just have a lot of energy. She's like, okay, see, it's not my fault. Don, it's not my fault. Don,
it's not my fault. It's just because I like to work. I'm a fire sign, Don.
And it's so sad, but also relatable.
It's so Vicky, too.
Don't we all look at our CoStar and app and be like, oh, that's why I'm a Gemini. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm just a piece of shit.
I don't even know what your sign is. What are you, Lauren? I don't even know. I'm
a Gemini.
You are? That's right. Because you and Jason are like, you have birthdays right next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a cusp, and he's more of a real gem.
I'm a Sagittarius.
I don't know what that means.
Sagittarius.
No, but I don't really know what that's like.
I'm a philosopher and stuff.
Oh, okay. I could see that. Yeah.
Sorry. Also fire sign.
Okay. I could definitely see fire sign. Yeah.
Because I'm not well.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
The fire sign.
It's a family van. You never send a fire sign a family van. Let's get it straight.
And rule number one. And now we said it. Okay. So then we have our new cast member, Tammy Knickerbocker. Tammy is a new addition to the cast. She's a single mother of three who lost all of her money and moved back near her ex in Coto to raise her two adult daughters close to their dad, while the father of her four-year-old son is one of the season's biggest surprises. Mm. The way they unveil.
Wow, 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 wow.
It is like, it's like the end of Mad Men when you realize he had a family all along. Like, they did it so smoothly, and they didn't like pat themselves on the back for it all. Yeah. I mean, bravo. They were really bravo to bravo on the editing, where like you meet Vicky's new like assistant. Whoa. This guy Duff, he's like kind of this handsome guy, and he's like, well, I miss my girlfriend. We were together 10 years, and now we had to move here from Palm Springs, and I love her, but she didn't love me, but I got to be close to my son. And then this whole time we're hearing about Tammy, who like has two older daughters and like a rich ex-husband or former, and they lost all of their money. Don't mention anything about an ex-boyfriend. And then suddenly, like three episodes in, they are getting together and she's dropping the son off with Duff. It's Duff's son. She's the lady he was talking about. I was like, holy fucking shit. What they would never do anything like this again. That Bravo is so like, thinks it's for dummies
now. This is
now.
So insane. Like,
it's like so this, good.
Where I don't know why she ever left the show.
I love her on this show. Like, she's so beautiful.
Okay. But she also kind of looks, I say this as a compliment, like, because I think she's gorgeous, but she looks like Kathy Wakili to me.
I could see Kathy Wakili. I mean, I think that, no offense to Kathy, but I just think, she was like Courtney Cox to me, Tammy Knickerbocker. Like, she's so gorgeous. And she's like Nelly Furtado.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, but like not Courtney Cox from the Screen movie where she fucked up her bangs.
No, yeah. Although Tammy, honestly, she could rock a baby bang, I think. She's got the bone structure. Duff would still pine over her.
And she's got a lot to say about breast implants.
And she is very like, also, I like the way that it's like, she's just kind of been through a lot and she is dead inside.
Yeah.
I don't even think she's on pills. She is just dead, like walking to the world.
Yeah. Like when you see her like walking through, like, didn't that house like get burned down or something? And she's like,
it flooded. Yeah. Their toilet exploded and then it just flooded. That's like, your nightmare, Michelle.
This was my kitchen. Yeah. No, I told you I broke my toilet again. I had the plumbers here yesterday. I keep breaking it the same way.
Oh my, well, by taking a big dump?
No, by cleaning my toilet. I have those Clorox toilet ones, and you're supposed to flush the toilet before you clean your toilet with the Clorox ones. And I keep getting, because they come off and, you know, like, and it keeps getting sucks up my toilet. And
why don't you just use a toilet brush?
It's not sanitary, but I've spent, like, this is not a joke. I have spent over $1,000 on plumbers for this same reason. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, like, sewage water filling up your bathroom isn't sanitary either. You know, I think it's like, what's, you know.
So, well, like, hand. I relate to Tammy on so many levels, but that's really only true. This one.
Really this, yeah, yeah. This is more like your fear, your greatest
yeah,
fear.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, first of all, so we do say goodbye to Kimberly, who we talked a little bit about last yeah. episode. I love that they did, like, a that's goodbye. Another thing. I wish they do a nice little send-off for her. They let her drive off in her little car.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's she's like, I mean, it is kind of, like, sad when she's like, you know, it's like, I have to, like, uproot my family because of my melanoma. I'm just like, yeah. Oh, God.
What? Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Bye.
But I don't think it was that. The melanoma was, like, negative, but yeah, I think it was just like that needed, happening on the show. She was yeah, like, she and now needed, I never want to be here again.
Yeah, she's yeah. like, I gotta move. I gotta never show my face in Kodo again. I gotta move to fucking where she goes, Chicago.
Yeah, back to Chicago. But mm-hmm. I think that's good for her because I think also it was like she was just being like a trophy wife because she and her husband, I think, thought it was like a fun kind of sexy role playing thing. Mm. And then I why am I talking so much about her? She's actually a fascinating person the more that we talk about her. But I think it was just like a fun thing for her. And then she was like, this really isn't me. I want to like go back to work.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I want to go weird. Back to the Midwest and eat the beef.
Eat the beef.
Italian beef.
She's a nice Midwestern girl, which we mm-hmm. hear a lot about them this season.
Mm-hmm.
As being the and reason how. You stay with someone miserable. And how? Oh, yeah. okay. So, yeah. So, the shocking reveal of Duff. It's so crazy. And then, like, Duff is always trying to, like, get back together with mm-hmm. her, too.
He's
and
like
you can tell he's
relentless.
He's relentless. I mean, you can tell that, like, he's just, like, this, like, hot, like, 48-year-old guy who's lived, like, a charmed life
yeah.
and, like, never, you know, like a surfer, like, laid-back dude.
Yeah.
And, like, he just wants what he can't have. He doesn't really want to settle down. He's, like, not really serious about her. You can tell she's just, like, so over it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what about you and me? We run off to Vegas. And she's like, I'm gonna go.
She's like, literally like been and going through like the most stuff.
Yes, yeah,
it's like insane.
Wait till next season.
And like wait, like, and she's got this like 4-year-old. Like it's like crazy. Like her daughters, like
she's got two daughters. One is like
you know.
Do you know? Are you familiar with those the photography gentleman's website called Suicide Girls Students? Are you familiar with it, Michelle?
I thought you were asking me specifically. No, I've dated many a men who were like,
who was a fan of the Suicide Girls? Yes.
Well, yeah, they're like, why could you like look like this? And I was like, I'm not white.
Yeah,
that's
they're
number
all,
one. They're
number
all
one,
very
two,
like, yeah. They're like where white
pale,
people come from. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Very like albino, like very yeah. Expensive tattoos covering their bodies.
Yes.
Usually kind of a pinup girl mm-hmm. or a steampunk aesthetic.
A MySpace girl.
A MySpace girl. A thin arched brow.
Yes.
Very into pit bulls, very into bald men of a certain age mm-hmm. who work in blue collar jobs. That mm-hmm. is Megan, Tammy's oldest daughter. She is of that Suicide Girl ilk.
Yeah.
And then she also has Bronzer daughter mm-hmm. who is 17 mm-hmm. and wears more bronzer mm-hmm. than anyone, like to the point where we're getting into, is this racially okay?
Yeah, like here. We're getting into like, you know, Luann de Lesseps dressed as Diana Ross. For Halloween
yes,
a little bit.
Very yeah. much that. Very much that. And so they're in Kodo to be closer to these girls' dad, Lou. Lou Knickerbocker is claims that he has money again. He lost all
good.
His money, claims he has it again. It's like, oh great.
That's
the way he,
wonderful.
The way he proves he has money again is that he brings all of the girls in the cast in to form a modeling group that's going to travel worldwide called the OC Aqua Air Angels. And they will promote an energy drink called Aqua Air, which he says, we've developed a way to take oxygen from the air and put it into water to make water. And that's what they will be promoting.
I love an entrepreneur. Like, I love a that's mind true. Like that. Like, you know, had Shark Tank been on? during this time.
Sharks.
Get
yes,
I have an idea. Yeah, get this man in front of Mark Cuban immediately.
Mark Cuban would love the OC Aqua Air Angels. He would be
all over it. Yeah, yeah.
All of these 16 to 19 year old girls. But also Lou is like, he's really, it's like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. He's all about their image. He's like, mm-hmm. sorry, they've got to maintain a 3.6 GPA or they cannot be an Aqua Air Angel. They cannot be overweight.
Yep.
They cannot have tattoos. Yep. Basically, they cannot be my older daughter.
But they cannot be my daughter. Yeah.
Much.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But they can be my other daughter who right. I do still love.
I still love her. Yeah.
And they're doing, I mean, it's like not like a terrible idea. It kind of is like Carl's job from Loverboy.
Yeah.
Like it's the same business model to get like the, you know, performers from the show to go from bar to bar, schlocking your product.
Yeah. It's like, you know, everybody's got to make a living, Lauren. Like, you know, don't stop his bag.
Yeah. It's just a little creepy that it's like all teenagers and one of the teenage girls, they get in a fight because he gives one of them a Hummer as their car.
Yes, not like
he doesn't.
When, yeah, when Laura says Hummer, it's the actual car. It's not him like sticking his like head in her boobs.
No. He has a Thai wife that he has a mail order bride like the rest of his friends. No,
he's such a good guy.
He's yikes. It's all rough, but there is like a really great early. Like reality TV flavor of love, Bad Girls Club type fight between the OC Aqua Air Angels on camera.
There's
two brunette ones and they're all getting their makeup done for like a photo shoot, a calendar shoot. And like one of them, they like had a fight over a guy or something. And so one of them is walking out and she bumps up and like pushes up against like the shoulder of the other one who's talking to like Gina Keo's daughter, Kara. And then the girl whips around, grabs her by her hair. They're punching each other. Lou is like just like totally unfazed, walks between them and breaks it up. Doesn't even fire either of them. It's like, okay, break it up.
Honestly,
and goes back to business.
These girls should have been put on like Charm School. Remember that show, Charm School?
Yes.
Oh God, that was a great show.
Yes. Yeah. The clown jumped out in these girls and they needed to be gotten to Charm School. They need a Monique to put some charm. So the OC Aqua Air Angels I could talk about all day.
Yeah, they should have really got a spinoff.
They really
should. Yeah, Lauren's very passionate about these girls and Lou's idea.
It's more, it's like the, I love like how bad the name is and I love that it's so Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Well, women supporting women.
Exactly. Yeah. I love a powerful woman. I love
And Lauren's a big fan of like the,
Mm-hmm.
And you like when young impressionable women are being told exactly what to look like, exactly what to do.
Love that. Molding young minds always ends up well. Oh, yeah. Mm. And I do want to just discuss one more thing where Lori's daughter is really excited about the OC Aqua Air Angels because she's like, okay, this way I don't have to get a job. You know, it's like I just, you know, take pictures for Lou on the show or whatever.
Ashley,
the head of the OC Aqua Air Angels, the one who drives the Hummer, she's like, so we are actually going to go to a veterans hospital.
Oh, God.
And then Ashley's like, like where? Like global? And then she's like, no, like, you know, like it's like more the injured, like people from the war come from like SOAS and such as Iran, Afghanistan. And then Ashley goes, oh, you mean to Vietnam?
Oh my God.
And then she's like, no. And then they're both like, ah, ha, 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 ha. I was like, oh my God.
But
she
Ashley,
still thought there was a war in Vietnam.
You know, it's like, she's got a lot going on too, Lauren. She's
to
trying
be fair,
to keep the townhouse.
Okay, yeah. This will move us to Lori.
Yeah, yeah.
So Lori, while still struggling to her biggest adult daughter and teenage son, single Lori is not so single anymore after
she's
a brief
dad.
She's in love. She had a quickie fling with Slade Smiley, and then she found her true Prince Charming, a wealthy landscaper who sweeps her out of her townhouse and into his mansion boat and a new BMW.
Georgie boy.
So Lori had a fan on the show who is like actually like a handsome guy, still has most of his hair, incredibly wealthy.
He seems really nice. He is a Republican. We'll get into that.
Yeah, but I mean, no one's perfect. Right. And like really wants to treat her right and like cares about her. And it's,
he does.
It's
so like, great. Look, like Lori comes, she's a beautiful girl, but she does come with some baggage. I will say that.
Yes, and really, and he's like still, it's so nice to watch it knowing how it all turned out, where it was like, God, he just really just
really loves her.
And he still helps out with like her family. And yeah, he's just a really,
he's a good guy.
He's the one good Republican. Him and
not my mom.
Okay. Him and Vicky. he's buying, like, we see all these scenes of like, you know, her getting spoiled, like he buys her that BMW that Vicky's so jealous of, takes her horseback riding, they both ride on a horse together, they're on a boat with like all of their kids shopping. It's all really nice.
It's very like The Bachelor, like these like scenes,
Bachelor
like
days.
You know, when they like go on like the vacations and stuff, like they're riding like the horse and like doing
it's
all
like
things, jumping in a pool. It's a
fantasy,
except she still has to like clock in 12 hours a week at Kodo.
I don't think she's working that much at Kodo. I mean, she's pretty much like left Kodo except for the same work like we talked about, and she's like starting her rich lady like fake jewelry business.
Right. And she's getting, you know, she's got you know, dinners with Mitt Romney now, so she's a
girl. Yes, she's now a part of her job is he's a big donor to the Republican Party, so she has to wear very conservative clothes to look the part, and she puts on this like black like dress that's like
very
skin
low
tight,
cut.
Almost see her nips, like, and she's like, "This is conservative, right?" And he's like,
like she's going to like a dinner, like an event for like Mitt Romney, who's like a Mormon.
A Mormon who calls his wife like mother. Like Mike Pence, like could not be more conservative. They probably won't serve alcohol there.
And I've been a Republican since I was 18. And you know, especially like in the confessionals. I loved that all these kids did the confessionals, and she's like, "My mom's never even said the word Republican."
Yeah. She's like, "Well, I was Republican because my parents always voted Republican." It's like, girl, you didn't vote.
Girl.
I think she later admits she did not.
Yeah.
At the reunion. But but George, like to his credit, even when she's in this hoochie outfit at the Republican dinner,
still he's loves
not,
her.
He's not like, "You need to change." He just loves her for her. It's really, it's really.
By the way, she's got a banging bod. She's a hot lady. Let the girls play and let her show off. And you know what? Give Mitt Romney a little bit of a show.
Yeah.
Dinner and a show.
Mitt's a man after all. Mm-hmm. You know?
He's a red-blooded American man.
Underneath that funny underwear, he's got a dick like anybody else. So they've only been together 6 months.
Honestly, this is like the most we've talked
about Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Ever in life. Yeah, me too.
No, we haven't even talked about any like presidential candidates fucking ever this long.
But Mitt Romney. Now there's some real
I don't know. It's so depressing.
I know. Okay, back to the happy stuff. This really sad season of OC. So Ashley is staying. Lori's keeping her townhouse because it's like she and George, it's pretty clear they're going to get married, but they've only been together for 6 months. So she's like, I'll just keep it. And then like, you know, Ashley, she's 21. She can take care of it. And she doesn't have to pay rent. She just has to either like get a job or go to school and like not trash the place.
Right.
So of course we have an on-camera
trashes
like,
it like so
party.
Like so beyond like anything, like the cat pooping on the floor, like
the poop is
everywhere.
And it's like a townhouse. There's a lot of rooms for it to be. It was like housing her family of like 4 and 3 dogs.
Yeah, it was like a squat house or something.
It looks like a trap house.
Like there's like spray paint on the walls. Not really, but like we're almost there with Ashley. And she's like, "What's the big deal? You're a Republican in a mansion now, Mom. Like, and I'm here with cat shit. Like, let me live."
Yeah, well, I think, okay, so this is, Cam had an interesting perspective because he walked in on this part.
Nice.
So Lori comes over, like, to, you know, do a random checkup to see if, like, Ashley's abiding by her rules. And obviously she's, like, horrified and, like, at the state of the house. And, like, Ashley has locked the door to her room and she's, like, worried she's dead inside. And like Lori's like, she's like, open the door, open the door. And Lori's daughter is like walking around like, I'm scared the cat is dead in the room, and like crying. Like, it's so intense. And that Cam was like, and then like she confronts, you know, Ashley later, and Ashley's like, what, you're gonna be a mom to me now? Like, just because, you know, like I had people over at the house, da da da. And Cam's like, well, in her defense, like, why is Lori doing this on camera? It's like, what is she expecting to get like anything but attitude from a 21-year-old when like confronting her about like wrecking her place on camera? And I was like,
Ashley's good TV.
Yeah, Lori, you know, she knows she's got to give them some dirt. Her right. life is too squeaky clean right now. Josh yes. is in juvie this whole season.
Right. She's got to walk through some cat shit sometimes. And she still does yeah. own the home. And that still is her daughter.
Yeah, true, true. And I do think George is like a good influence on her mm-hmm. parenting too. Apparently, like, they talk a lot about like fan reception, you know, now, because they didn't have all the research on how breaking the fourth wall is bad mm-hmm. and how like a lot of fans thought that Lori was a shitty mom because she was partying with Ashley all the time mm-hmm. last season. And so he's like, you know, you have to like not just be a friend now, you've got to be a mom to her. Right. And like, I think she ended up turning out kind of normal. I think she's been on Watch What Happens Live. She seems like she's okay. So I think it's good that Lori took the reins on camera and humiliated right. her, rubbed her face in the cat shit.
Yeah, you know, like, and also like the mother-daughter relationship is always pretty complicated. And
it's
so.
True. That's another theme of the show. Mothers and daughters, daughters and mothers.
Mommy dearest.
So Lori's last thing is what kind of like the plot that would be like most recognizable mm-hmm. to our OC audiences today is that she briefly dated Slade, yeah. Joe's boyfriend, in the off season. Yeah. And then Joe and Slade got back together.
Regular
That's what
season.
I call it when they're yeah. not filming. And Lori, like he told Joe, Slade told Joe that like Lori went for him hard. Da, da, da. And Lori was like, actually, that wasn't true. And so then she reached out to Joe and they almost broke up because of it, Joe and Slade. But then they worked it out. And then Lori reached out to her again and was like, you know, I'm sorry, but I was telling the truth, after they break up. Finally, at the mm-hmm. rap party. And then Slade, well, we'll get into it, brings another guy in his slimy, or brings another girl in his slimy. But their whole thing, it's like, it's not very dramatic. And yeah. it was also like, I don't give a shit.
No one
you
gives
know?
A it's shit. Like, yeah.
No one gives a shit. It was really more compelling to see, you know, the cat shit in the house.
Yeah. And that is, yeah. that's compelling television. Show me, yeah, like they didn't blur the shit out like you see a lot
that
on TV.
That was crazy.
Yes. And you just literally see it smeared everywhere.
It was a different time. It yeah. was like, you know, like Flavor of Love, there was precedent. Like mm-hmm. a girl dropped a turd mm-hmm. on the mm-hmm. ground, and then they showed it because they had to show for the character development of Flav not being able to get yeah. past it. And then he had to let her go home. Yeah. And that's Lori. Yeah.
The kids are not all right.
Kids are not all right. All right. And that brings us to, speaking yeah. of kids that are not all right, this brings us to Gina. Season 2 finds Gina Keo still in a house full of fighting kids since her oldest son, Shane, is home from baseball school with an injury. But she finds herself the most at odds.
He's got an injury.
Injury, yeah, of his pride. Finds herself at most at odds with her oldest child, her 52-year-old husband, Matt Keo, an asshole with a traumatic brain injury who hates his sons and daughters and dogs.
But he's so rich, bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it seems like Gina is really the one making the bucks.
She's making money, but like baseball players get so much money, Lauren.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know a ton about baseball. It seems like he was obviously a pretty successful guy if he was scouting a Playboy model to be his heiress.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they have four houses and stuff, but right. it's like, and he still works, I guess. He like somewhat related to baseball. He travels like 200 days.
Yeah, and
a
year. He gets, you know, because he doesn't like his family.
Yeah, so he, like, I'm like, is it even a job or does he just like?
He's volunteering.
It seems like it's probably a shitty job. Yeah, that he's doing for free just to like be away
from his like wife and kids. Yeah.
Like, anytime, you know, it's like they're, you know, a typical rowdy family, and like Gina's so like unfazed by it. And, you know, the siblings, they're all always fighting and nugging mm-hmm. each other and stuff.
Yeah.
It takes more of a turn to like the like dark, yeah. and, like more like shitty and violent this season. But Matt, from the beginning, like we see him in the first scene with the kids, and he's so over it.
He's
like,
so
he's like, you guys
dead.
Need to take a walk. You guys are overcooked. Get out of here.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, God. Matt. Yeah. He really isn't doing okay.
Yeah. And he just can't. He doesn't like their life.
He doesn't. But it's like, okay, you have like three other houses, Matt. Just go to one of those houses right now.
And that's literally what Gina says. You know, it's like they're having serious problems with their marriage. But she's like, well, we're just too Midwestern to break up. We're just going to hang in there and be unhappy till we die. And she's like, we got four houses. So he can just, you know, stay in one of those.
Right.
The hardest part to watch is when they have Gina is threatening to sell one of their dogs on eBay.
This was fucking wild. Like this would not see this on TV. Like, and the fact that we're this far into the episode and we're just now talking, like, this is really fucking crazy that she's like, I'm going to sell a dog on eBay.
I mean, it's really just Gina being hilarious, but like PETA would be on your
ass. My God. Yeah. It's crazy. Like if she had an Instagram, then like people would have been blowing it up, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, how dare you
sell a dog on eBay?
He's a child. Yeah. Treat your kids however you want. Yeah. But that dog is, you know,
on eBay.
So finally they decide not to sell the dog on eBay, and instead they get like a dog trainer who's like a pretty lady. And so Matt, like, you know, comes skulking out of his room when he sees like the hot babe in his house, and he's like, I hate that dog. I hate all of our dogs. There are no dogs that exist to me but a black lab. And whenever that dog's bad, I hold it up by its ear.
My God.
Or I hit it. And the dog trainer's like, ah, ha, ha, well, we never hit. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I just hold it up by the ear. And I was like, fuck, dude. He's like, I'm still mad at Gina because, you know, her friends were here and they let the black lab out and they killed it. So her friends killed my dog. God. And like the dog trainer's like, okay. And then he's like, let me show you a video of the black lab and tell you more about its death.
Like that guy that you dated that's like, hey, or, you know, you like go on a date with a guy and then he's like, do you want to watch Faces of Death?
Yeah, and you're like, no. It's like, okay, we'll watch it with the commentary with Klaus Kinski. That's Matt Keough.
Yeah.
And then Matt, worst of all, he doesn't come to Gina's hibachi birthday with Vicky, and Gina's so sad. And you know, even Vicky is like, you know, you need to dump his ass. Even Kara, Gina's
daughter,
she's
like, I wish my mom had a boyfriend.
Yeah, it's so sad how like it's just so normal for everyone, but you know, Gina's like,
we're together forever. Yeah.
Yep, just together for it. We put too much work in, and you know, he's at this point, he's like the mailman to me, you know, but whatever. But also later, Vicky and Gina go to another dinner, and interesting foreshadowing where Gina talks about, like, Vicky's like, why don't you, you know, let loose, woohoo, you know, have an affair. And Gina's like, I just could never do that. Like, you know, I would rather, like, we respect each other too much. Instead of cheating, I would just get a divorce. And Vicky's like, oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. And it's like, even then you're she's already talked to Brooks. Mm. You can already tell at that dinner. They've already emailed. Yeah. You can see it in her eyes.
She's been talking to Girth Brooks.
Old Girth Brooks. He's started the cancer shenanigans.
Oh, God. We'll get to it later, students.
We'll get to it later. Okay. And then Gina's kids. We focus on Shane a lot this season because he was a big hit with the gay audience last season.
Yeah, and he's not wearing a shirt like most of this season. He's just like being me and pretending to be injured and not wearing a shirt.
Yes, it's very like he's loving the camera time. And then they're again like the fake stuff really it's like all of the interpersonal drama, and it really stands out so much, like where it's like, oh, they're trying to like play up. Like, I think that you know, Shane and Joe are friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they do seem like friends who are around the same age, going through a similar weird TV experience. Right. But it's always like, you know, like trying to talk to him on camera. Like, so what about Joe? Like, it's just so, everything else is so real that it's like, oh, I just feel so spoiled. I was so spoiled by that season. Everything was real back then. When something was fake, it jumped out.
Well, even
like the clout.
Yeah. Like,
Charm School.
Even at the reunion, you know, Andy's like kind of like alluding to Joe and Shane. And he's like, Gina, what would you think of Joe as your daughter-in-law? And Gina's like, everyone saw Matt at the Lakers game. And they were like, you should just do Joe. Just go do her. It's like, what?
What the fuck? Yeah, go do
her. Go do her. And Joe's like, what?
Yeah. I mean, to her credit, Joe, like, doesn't really play that game.
No.
But Shane is very into, like, being... Well, it's kind of sad, though, because it's, like, part of it's for the camera, but part of it, it's, like, scary. It's like, oh, my God, is Shane turning into an asshole like his dad? Mm-hmm. Like, he's bitter now because his baseball career is over, too. His only role model is a total... Like, I mean, he has a brain injury, so that's part of why he's a dick, but... And then he mail orders that girl from Canada.
You know. He's like a red-blooded American male. He's
lots of mail ordering.
Yeah, he's very Mitt Romney coded.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he brings this like sister wife down, who's also a little bit Suicide Girl style coded.
Naughty.
And she's like on a juice fest the whole time, so she doesn't eat anything whole time.
Yeah,
she's there. And just kind of, like, sits in their house. And then, like, sometimes he'll acknowledge her and sometimes he won't. And it's like...
You know, she's like the dog.
Yes, she's very much... Yeah, I'm sure they sold her on eBay.
Yeah.
It's just a pretty bizarre behavior from not gay Shane again.
Yeah.
He also... Oh, it's also so funny when, like, he's always, like, fighting and shitty to his brother and homophobic.
Right.
And then he and his brother call each other the F word on camera. And then at the reunion... Andy makes him apologize for it. Like Andy is like the Reverend Al Sharpton of the gays.
Yeah.
Like that's how like he used to make amends back then. He's like, well,
it offends like, me. Sorry. It offends me because I'm a gay man.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I miss when you could just, you know, sit down with Andy Cohen or Al Sharpton.
And the way Andy looks this reunion, the hair.
Oh my God. He is Babyface Nelson. Were we ever so young? Okay, so then speaking of Joe, let's get into Joe and Slades, the fifth and self-proclaimed sixth housewife.
Oh my God.
After a reenacted fling with Lori, Joe and Slade reunited, this time with Slade doing less pretending that he has a job and custody of his sons and more pretending that Joe has musical talent and they aren't going to break up when she moves to LA for work soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So,
they're doing the dance. Yeah. The dance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think that like, they're a little more comfortable on camera now.
And Joe's a little more like, well, I don't know. She oscillates between like, I'm over his shit and I don't need him. And then also like, cannot do this without him sort of thing.
I think it's like, part of it is like the show, you know? Mm. I mean, I think they do like love each other. Like when they finally do have their breakup scene, when she's cooking him dinner, it is like, emotional. You know, you can tell that there's love there, but I think a lot of it is they're like, you know, they know they're going to break up, but they're like being
right.
You know, they just aren't ready. But part of it is also, I think they're not ready to not be on TV.
On camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard business to break into. And Slade's been trying for a while, Lauren. So let him
live. I do think he loved Joe. Like,
loves the camera.
I just think he loves the camera the most. Yeah. And he obviously proves that by, you know, at the rap party immediately after, or like the finale party, immediately after they break up, he is like brought, you know, another girl, hoping that maybe that girl can be the new housewife he dates on camera. Doesn't work out, but it works out for him later, you know.
Right.
This is like it's the same old song and dance from Slade, literally.
Yeah.
But this is the first time. So it's like Joe is now like wanting to do a music career and Slade is her manager, which I think it's him really kind of pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so what was really happening is they were trying to sell a show together off.
Maybe they wanted like a Newlyweds or something.
They got one. It was like so I think that they're kind of laying the groundwork for that. So it was called Joe and Slade Date My Ex. Unwatchable. They would play it like between Millionaire Matchmakers.
Ooh.
And it was just so bad. And that it was actually the way that Bravo learned you can't really take people out of this environment. Mm. And it's part of like that's part of why they're so reticent to like do crossovers or like, you know, bring people on from other franchises and have them cross or like, you know, do spinoffs.
Well,
they've had some successful spinoffs, but it's
Bethany
because of
Ever
shows
After.
Which was also
pretty dark and fair. And yeah. Actually, you know, the two people on this podcast you're listening to, half of us find it to be unwatchable, and the other half really likes this Psychosis.
Well, I haven't given it a fair shake.
We don't, and as you should not.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't like the one where they're happy. Yeah. Like, I didn't like
happily
the one where it's like
Bethany Ever After. Yeah.
Not for me, but I think the, like, Bethany Divorced or yeah, whatever. Yeah. I think that one I would like. I just haven't watched it yet. Well,
we'll recap it.
Yeah, should we recap it, guys? Tell us.
We should, because I think we need to, yeah, we'll talk about it later, but I think we need to go back to the beginning of Bethany not being well.
Yeah, and it's a good, like, I think it'll be a good break for us to do, right. Like, you know, because we can't go straight through with OC. I think everybody, I think it's too much for the listeners.
Especially when we get to this is all going to be cut, but the Kelly years.
I know, especially because the Kelly years, I just watched twice in the past month.
You're
so, it's gonna be
so sick. This is why you shit all the time, now. Lauren.
I know. It's too much Kelly Dodd. It's toxic for my bowels.
You're a cunt. You know that?
I've really come around on her. I gotta say, but we'll talk about
it. Yeah,
later.
It's really, it's crazy. Okay, yeah, Jake, yeah. All that.
So it's a lot of you know, shenanigans, mm-hmm. but a lot of like Joe partying. Also, Joe's auditioned and found a much hotter cast of friends this season. I gotta say,
yeah,
her like friend who she's always with looks like Summer Glau. She's like a beautiful,
yeah,
like,
she's like
model.
A model. Yeah, yeah, and she's like, oh my god, the psychic. I mean, if the psychic says you shouldn't be with Slade, you shouldn't be with Slade.
And she was right.
And yeah. Slade was there.
Free. Yep. Oh, yeah. That was one of our favorite scenes that we actually were texting about, mm-hmm. was that, it's the first psychic on camera. Yep. So another like big moment for Real Housewives. Many psychics are especially important on OC as like, this is like, they're always bringers of plot lines for people, mm-hmm. who are afraid to say it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that later with Brooks's cancer, yep. et cetera. But so then, you know, Slade and, you know, and Joe are clearly going to be breaking up. And so she, you know, sits down and she, you know, she's with Slade, but she thinks Slade's in another room and talks with, you know, the psychic about whether she was Slade or not. And then Slade, we get his talking head and he's like, she didn't know it, but I was sitting right behind her. And it's like a chair. She's not even like fully back turned.
Yeah.
It's like a, like, it's like free. Like it's some kind of like, pantomime, yeah. Like British pantomime.
Yeah.
He's right behind you.
The whole time?
It's like so clear. He's like got a boom, mm-hmm. mic over his head. And she's like, I didn't realize, but the psychic said that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And he was right there the whole time.
Yeah.
We wanted like an intercut played behind like people in all the Bravo shows the whole time. Every big moment in Cartagena.
Yeah, like with his fingers doing the like Miss. Yeah.
Scary Islands.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, he's been there the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah. When there were two sets of footprints on the sand, that was when Slade Smiley was sitting behind you in a chair the whole time. Okay. So, this was our first real reunion, like where it was like not just in Vicky's backyard doing reenactments, where it was like we're in the clubhouse, everyone's getting paid except for all the kids who they make come out and grill them, but they don't get paid for it.
Right.
Like, it's the first clubhouse reunion hosted by a ripe young Andrew Cohen.
And he is young.
Yes. And candidly answering questions about their boobs, faces, marrying for money, mm-hmm. and viewers judging their parenting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andy looks, I mean, he always looks great, but it's like, it's wild to see
he's
him
so,
you know,
young, yeah,
our age.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And also, I come back to like my big thing with this season is like everyone's still being honest. Like now when they're like, who here's had plastic surgery? You know, they still do that at reunion sometimes. And it's like, no one raises their hand. And this, he's like, who here's gotten a boob job? Everybody raises their hand. Who's here's gotten a nose job? Lori's like, well, me, but it was for a bump. Who here's gotten, you know, fillers and Botox? Everyone's like, yes. Who here's gotten like, you know, ragged on for being a bad parent? And they're all like, yeah. Who here has voted Republican? Yeah. Who here has voted? No, none of us vote. Yeah, it's like, it's so good. The candor.
God,
before,
yeah.
Like, the world was watching, you know? It's just,
and it was like before they were like, we're going to wear these crazy gowns and we see them getting, mm-hmm. ready in the train. Like before it was like this huge big event. Mm-hmm. This was just like, we're going to just ask, like, you know, it's just like a gay man asking like, like women.
Viewers want to know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Are you really a Republican?
Yeah. And I just really miss, I mean, obviously like the production of it all and the, yeah. you know, the pageantry is fun, but it's like at the end of the day, it's crazy. It wasn't even really like a performance review.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a test or like a way to mend fences. It was just like, tell me about your tits.
Yeah. It's like literally like a gay man who's like a fan of the show getting to ask these yeah. women like these questions. Like before Andy was like over it all. He kind of seems over
yeah.
it a bit, but...
Yeah. When he was still like, and when excited. He was like still producing. Yeah. yeah. And excited and loved, like, you know, it was all developing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah. It was just such a different time. Right. And it does, I can't help but get a little nostalgic.
I know. Mm. Tears.
But this season's a banger and we'll, it's going to be a strong return for season 18 of OC, and we'll continue to recap those as well. Make friends of new seasons, but keep the old seasons.
What
Andy Cohen's silver haired now.
Yeah.
And he used to be
also silver haired.
Not old. Oh. Yeah, it's less silver.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so so you had a really good theme for this season, Michelle.
The kids are not all right.
And the kids are not
They're
all right.
They're not all right. They're all fucking insane.
I mean, that's like maybe my one note for the season. It's like, ooh, we are really spending a lot of time on these fucked up kids for kids who are not getting paid.
They're
you
not
know?
Getting paid. Really... And they're just like, I'm like, you know, Knickerbocker's kid is like, I'm just happy I have like a house and I can like party. Like, what? You know, and then obviously yeah. like Ashley with a cat poop and Lori's son and
Shane saying the F word.
Right.
And,
you know, and, you yeah. know. It's a lot, you know, the Mac or, you know, who's the other Gina's kid that's like yelling at the dog person. I mean, it's like, it's just a lot with these kids. And
yeah, it's a lot.
But, you know, thank you for opening up your lives to us, even though you're under the age of 18. A lot of you.
Yeah. What a different time. Like yeah. before it was like lay off
could,
the kids.
Yeah. You could like fully exploit your children.
Yeah, before Gia ever yelled at Joe Giudice,
yeah.
Shane was calling Tammy Knickerbocker tits for her face.
So. Waking up in the morning, thinking about so many tits.
So many tits. I just wish my tits would get bigger. Stupid.
85% of the women have breast implants in the OC.
R.I.P. Kimberly and your boob calculator. Okay, some motifs. We talked a lot. I think we really painted a rich tapestry of the literary significance of the season, but some other motifs would be
yes.
Vicky always whooping it up, always bringing the party. Women who had it all and lost it all are always going to be a staple of the OC. Being Republican is always going to be the OC. Vicky having meltdowns, Vicky being resentful, mm-hmm. she's got to work for everything, and marriages and relationships ending on camera. We saw a bunch die, and we have so many more to come. So many more.
Yes. Yes.
Just you wait. And then also we have Slade basically doing his whole pattern that we'll just see him repeat again and again later in a storyline where mm-hmm. he's like a manservant, where he's being really inappropriate and ridiculing
right.
a partner about their weight. But he has that flipped on him later, which is karmic justice, but still sad. Trying to push an untalented housewife's music career, trying to be a sixth housewife, lots of men trying to launch fake businesses mm-hmm. on the show, lots of grifting. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first Playboy party.
Loves
ever,
it. Loves it.
What grade would you give this?
Oh my God, it's an
show?
A. Easy A.
Yeah.
Like the Emma Stone movie. Easy A.
I know. I would give it an A+, but all the child exploitation took away the plus.
Yeah.
And it's just a regular A. An A for Aqua Air Angels.
I know you love it.
I can't believe you're not as obsessed with them as me. They could have been the Red Bull girls if people liked water that you make from adding oxygen to water.
Oh my God, Lauren, like you're so obsessed with it, you can barely get words out. Like you're like flustered.
What? No, I said that normal.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I give it an A2. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to Bravo Breakdowns podcast. Follow us on Instagram at @Bravo_breakdowns and same on TikTok, @Bravo_breakdowns. We will be making some educational videos of this season. We are going to get back to our study guide type content and new type study guide content to really educate the children so they can really appreciate this new season of OC.
Yeah.
Contact us, give us an oral exam. We love you. We miss you. We'll have a lot of famous celebrities and this season played by comedians, but
famous nonetheless.
Yeah, and probably a high tier of comedians.
Yeah, like John Mulaney is going to be on our podcast playing Vicky Gumbelson. So or Kelly Dodd. Yeah,
he loves the Housewives.
He does. He really does. I know.
Yeah, he watched it with his ex-wife.
Right.
And then we end every episode with an oral exam. It's a 1-minute essay on a pop culture topic of your choice. Michelle, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little rogue here. I'm going to go a little Rachel Goes Rogue, but I think you'll appreciate what I'm doing for the
kids. I love it. Does that mean you're going to go over time?
No.
Okay.
It means I haven't really prepared something, but...
Oh, no, I love that. I love an impromptu, you know. You're such an extemporaneous girl.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, this is Michelle Weber's exam. Her time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that I have, what's it called? Red alert, emergency 911, breaking Bravo news. Lauren, while we were recording this podcast, literally... Tom Sandoval fires his attorney, claims he was misled into suing Ariana Maddox and has no ill will against her. He said, quote, late Tuesday morning, my attorney, Matt Garagos, whose advice I trusted, called about the complaint in the lawsuit against myself and Ariana. Anyway, so he's dropping the lawsuit because he looks like a huge asshole. And I'm just glad that I get to share this information with the world who has probably already seen it by the time this podcast comes out. So the first lawsuit that went out today against Ariana has been dropped officially. That's my time.
Michelle, I have to share something with you.
No.
It actually was dropped 17 minutes before the podcast.
God
started.
Damn it. Emergency.
But hey, it's still big news, you know.
Well, because we were talking about it at the beginning.
Right, but then we got too into the Emmys and like we couldn't even really get into it, you know.
Well,
but actually I think I'm gonna spitball off of that for my oral exam. No, this is a good jumping off point for sure. And it's good, we need to get this news to the people.
Yeah. We're men of the people.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. In this essay, I will prove I do believe that the next season of VPR, even though it seemed like it was going to suck, I do believe the level of debauchery that Tom Sandoval and his ilk are going through is going to be disturbing levels. I mean, it's not even being reported on that much because it is such like a garbage type drama. Mm. But like, I think like if we got Joe back in there, like it's not going to be the same caliber or thing, but it is going to be kind of a season of scary trash. When Victoria Lee Robinson, she has never had a job before.
Yeah.
When she was asked about her job and that she was accused of having a drug addiction on a podcast, she said, "I do a job. I have two homes and I own them and I care for my father who has swelling in his brain.
Swelling in his brain."
Could not really get a sentence out of her. They said, okay, so he's got an injury. No, he's got brain swelling. I actually did run a credit report on Victoria. She has never owned a house.
Nice.
And also, like, you know, she as you know, she's modeled, but like there's only her only modeling job that you see on her Instagram. It's like her a Vogue, like a Photoshop of the word Vogue underneath. So it's like basically she's an escort. And also, I'm sorry, I am like, I can say this, it takes one to know one. As a substance abuser girly who used to have a very dark Instagram of out of focus pictures that were like randomly updated and like kind of no rhyme or reason to it. These are the pictures that are coming out on Victoria's Instagram like regularly now that she's like in the public and having it's like it's not good. They're in a dark place. It's gonna get gnarly. I mean, he's waking up, you know, going to podcasts, interviews, like with Nick Vile, like, you know, 2 hours late. Right. Like, it is, it's going to be gnarly. Billy Lee's going to get in there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, I mean, it might not be what you guys are used to, but
it's going to be something. And yeah,
it's going to be something.
It's something, honey. And I need to see more of Victoria's monologues. Like, you know, just that one we saw about the brain swelling and the owning two homes and not being able to get out a sentence. Like, you know.
You know who she was giving me? Have you seen Tombstone, where Wyatt Earp's wife is addicted to laudanum?
Oh my God, yes.
She's very beautiful, oh but she's drinking like the opium alcohol. Yeah. That is who Victoria
is. And that's what we're going to get next season of VPR, I hope.
Laudanum Girlies. Yes. Yeah. They're going to have to rename it Laudanum Girlies.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I'm down. You know, it's like, you know, if you love things, you have to let them change.
Right. Yeah. Evolve.
And it seems like it's going to be that. And then like the lawsuit between Lisa Vanderpump is going to get in on the Penny lawsuit
that,
against
and, yeah.
something about her.
Yeah. And we're actually going to see something about her being open. So we'll have that to look forward to.
And while in the throes of legal trouble. Right. So I'm just saying, I mean, it might not be the season you guys wanted, just want to see Ariana and Katie selling sandwiches, but I would rather see this dark, mm-hmm. horrific
Dark Passenger.
OC season 2, yeah, Dark Passenger style show than, sorry, the Katie and Ariana show. I'm sorry. I love them. Yeah, I wish them all the best. Wish them all the best, but that's not my show. And this is
God bless,
this is closer.
But, you know, but Victoria, there's something about her.
There's something about, I'd rather have a laudanum girly than, you know, mm-hmm. thriving.
Yeah, like a Subway. Girly. Yeah, I don't need like a Subway sandwich.
No. Give me the laudanum girlies. Yes, yes. And bring Joe back, please.
Yeah, oh my God. I want to see Victoria and Joe just like go get a hot dog.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Joe's lives are so.
I know.
Twisted and toxic and, oh my gosh, her like lack of self-awareness is she's like, I had to, she's one with the Instagram of a clear substance abuser. And she also is like, you know, sitting there and being like, I had to work for everything I had. I don't have like rich parents or anything. While her mother, who's a doctor, is sitting next to her in their like $2 million mansion.
And she's like, I need money for my dog.
Yes. It's so good.
She spent all of her money on like, you know, improv classes at Groundlings or something. She's giving me that vibe. Ooh.
She definitely, if she took anywhere, it would be Groundlings.
Oh, yeah. It was an improv Olympic.
It's character work. It's not IO. It's not UCB. She's not doing game based sketch. She's giving like Stewie. Yeah. You know? She's giving Mad TV.
Yeah. She's giving you like 94 like Groundlings work.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, and not the Phil Hartman kind.
Oh yeah,
the other kind.
No, the Lisa Kudrow kind. No, I like her. She went to Groundling.
The Valerie Cherish.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, there's gonna be a comeback season 3.
Oh my God, it's the best show.
It's so good. Hot tea. You heard it here first. And Just Like That.
Fresh from the. Oh my God, Kim Cattrall's gonna be on season 3, but isn't shooting anything with Sarah Jessica Parker.
I kind
Did
of
hear
live.
Me?
Yeah, I heard you. I think we have a delay.
Okay.
We have a lag.
I think so too. I got to go, though. Because you're about to have jet lag
because you've got to go early in the morning to the flight. Anyway, we love you guys, students. See you next week, season 3.
Bye.
And we love you, Michelle. Have a good trip to Florida. Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo.